Hey, if you're just joining us, we're in the last Sunday of a series we're calling Generations, and we'll get to that here in just a minute. But before we do, just a big shout out to Kim Sharp for her leadership for the Indy School of Leadership. Would you give her a big God bless you? Great job, Kim. And just welcome to all of our students and all of the families. I'm really excited about today, this week, as we launch the Indy School of Leadership. And just helping these students and their families just see the vision for their lives come to pass. And so it's an exciting journey we're all about to enter into together. And so I've got some really good news for you guys. And I'm going to talk to all these students here real fast. I want you to look around at an army of people who are going to be praying for you this semester, this year, and for the rest of your life. If you will say, hey, I'm going to pray for these students, would you give them a big God bless you, all of the students and their families? Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. Hey, and if you missed the first part of that live feed in the hub, technology is great when it works, right? Right after the service is our group's fair, and so we're going to end the service a little early, and I'm not even lying, and I'm a pastor. All right, and we're going to give you a chance to go out into the hub and check out the different groups that we are offering for this semester. More than 70 different groups that you have a chance to connect with. Our vision at our church is that everyone will be part of a group, and so that's you. And so I encourage you to take a few minutes after the service and check out the opportunities to be part of a group. All of the groups will go live online today, and I think there's going to be a link somewhere. Right there is the link to be part of that if you'd like to check out, in ninja style, all the different groups that we are having this semester. And so thank you to Pastor Brian McBride and Nicole for their leadership in leading groups. Would you give them a big God bless you? Working really hard, making that happen. Okay, so let's jump back into this. We're talking about generations, and so the last 3 weeks, we have tailored each service around a particular generation. So we started 2 weeks ago focusing on builders and boomers, those people who were born before 1965. We did a survey. They picked the songs that we sang in the service. And of course, we had a great time with the old rugged cross, How Great Thou Art. How many were blessed by that service? Wasn't it great? Five of you were blessed by the service, right? And then last week, we focused on busters and Generation X, people born between 1965 and 1985, and they picked the worship songs, and so we tailored the service. What would it look like if we built a service just for that particular age group? And we illustrated around sitting around a dining room table that coming to church is a lot like eating dinner together as a family, and we want everybody at the table, okay? Now, this is the last Sunday of that series, and so we're focusing on millennials and Generation Z born after 1985. If you're here born after 1985, can I hear from you here right now? Are you here today? All right. Praise God. All right. Now, let me say it one more time. Why are we doing this? Why are we taking this time to focus on the different generations? Well, the primary reason is because we need to be reminded as a church that we are a family. We are not a gathering of different tribes who tolerate one another or who coexist together. No, it's much more than that. God has called us to be brothers and sisters in the household of faith. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, that it's through his mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own what? You see, when I make a decision to follow Jesus, I am now part of a worldwide family of believers called the Church of Jesus Christ. And we are old, we are young. We have different colors of skin. We have different backgrounds, we have different stories, but we are one family under the banner of Jesus Christ. Can I hear it from the family of God here today? Now, what we're saying is, as a church, we want every generation at the table. We want to honor every generation. We want every generation to feel connected and like they belong here at Grace. And just like we illustrated last week, when we gather around the worship table, if we compare our Sunday morning services to gathering around a family dinner table, the more we do that, the better and the healthier we are, okay? So let's focus a little bit on everybody under 35 years old. We're talking about millennials. These are the people who were born after 1985, who have no memory of Ronald Reagan. Pause and think about, no, I'm just kidding, all right. Generation Z was born after 1999, and there are 70 million of these in the United States. Did you know that they are the largest generation in history? There are more Generation Z than any other generation in our country. A few weeks ago, we did a demographic study of everybody within a 15-mile radius of our church, and we found that 24% of our community is in Generation Z. 70,000 people in this age group live within a 15-mile radius of our church. How many know we should be talking about them, right? And they're different than any other generation before them. They think differently. They communicate differently. They act differently. It seems as if God changed the wiring system between the Gen X and the millennials and Gen Z. And millions, if not billions of dollars has been spent in research trying to figure out how this generation thinks, how they react, what impacts them, how they learn and how they grow. Coaches, teachers, employers are all trying to figure this out so that they can be effective with this generation. Now, and most of this generation is addicted to technology. Matter of fact, one study I read said that about 50% of this generation would give up their sense of smell rather than give up their access to technology. That's getting serious. They have their own way of communicating, and this generation really has their own language. I remember back in the day, you know, when things were bad. Remember Michael Jackson was bad, but it was really good. So this has always been a struggle, but this generation has their own language. So I consulted the millennials and Generation Z who live with me and to make sure I got this right. But here are some of the phrases and words that are current to this generation. One favorite phrase is adulting. What is adulting, Pastor? Well, that's when millennials do grown-up things, like paying bills, cooking their own food, using cell phones to actually call another adult. Right? Then there's the phrase GOAT, G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. Peyton Manning is the GOAT. Andrew Luck is not. Is that too soon? It's too soon. It's just raw. It's real. I just promise you I can make every one of these about Andrew Luck and have a good time doing it today. For instance, spilling the tea. Spilling the tea means to disclose information, especially of a sensitive nature. So Adam Schefter spilled the tea on Andrew Luck last night during the college football game. All right. Then there's stay woke, W-O-K-E, woke. Right? That means you got to be alert or be ready. You're being aware of what's going on. I'm woke. I'm trying to help everybody be woke. Pastor, stop doing that. Okay, let's keep going. Salty. The word salty means in a bad mood or grumpy. Most Colts fans are salty this morning. How about this one? The struggle is real. Struggle is real. And that just means that, here's a for instance, you pour a bowl of cereal, you go to the refrigerator, you look for the milk, there's no milk. The struggle is real. Bounce. That's when you gotta go, you gotta leave, you know. Andrew Luck's gotta bounce, he's gotta go. All right. Jesus, help me forgive, all right. Where are we dropping, boys? That's a video game reference talking about where you're gonna go tonight. Or how about this? I can't even. Which means something that happens that leaves you a loss for words. So here's everybody's response to Andrew Luck today. I can't even. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Where's Faye and Glenn? I don't want to hear anything from you guys today. All right, here's the last one. Anybody know what a troll is? A troll. A troll is not a creature who lives under a bridge that you have to answer a riddle before you can cross the bridge. No, a troll is a person, a stranger usually, on the internet saying bad things about a particular person. And that's what people are doing to Andrew Luck's social media feed today. Oh, wait, he doesn't have one. All right. You're welcome. I just made you smarter. Now, so this is a different generation. But the Bible does have some things to say about this generation. And I love this in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. This is the day of Pentecost. This is 2,000 years ago. Peter stands up and he prophesies. And he says, in the last days. Anybody believe we're in the last days? I believe this is the last generation before Jesus comes back. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. That's called revival. On all people, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Of the four people groups that are identified in this prophecy, three of them are young. What I'm trying to tell you today is that this is the age group most likely to experience a revival. This is a prophetic generation. This is a generation that God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on them. And they're going to prophesy, and God's going to do wonderful things in the lives of this particular generation. Can I hear an amen from somebody? For the past couple months, Tracy and I and a couple of the other staff members, we've gathered just a select few young adults, college age and older, and we've started this discussion of what does ministry to your age group, what should it look like? And rather than, you know, the 49-year-old pastor trying to tell you what church should look like, you tell us. You describe what you think your generation needs. And by the way, you're going to lead it. It was a lot like that. But as we were having this particular discussion, there was a moment where I just felt the Spirit of the Lord prompt me to stop talking. And to say this, that you are the generation that are going to experience a revival. In that room, in my house, when we were talking to them, I said, you're going to be part of a revival. And I believe that. And I want to say to every person who is young here today, you are marked by God for greatness. He didn't choose me. I'm older than that. I'm not old. I'm older. He specifically chose you to put you in the game in the last 2 minutes so that you could be part of what he's doing in these last days. Somebody say amen. And I love what Psalm 102 verse 18 says, let this be written for a future generation. So the psalmist was looking way into the future. He says, I'm gonna write this down for a future generation, and I think he's talking about this one, a people not yet created who may praise the Lord. He's talking about a last generation that will love to worship, that will desire worship. They don't want services and they don't want religious activity. They want the real deal. They want the face of God. They want the heart of God. They want authenticity, no filters. I think he's talking about this generation. What does God's word have to say to this generation? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, remember the Apostle Paul has a young protege by the name of Timothy. Timothy is a young man who travels with Paul on his various missionary journeys. And one particular part of the journey, he leaves Timothy behind. They had planted a church. And so young Timothy is now going to be the leader of the church. And here's what Paul says to young Timothy. He says, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Paul says, Timothy, I'm going to tell you something. Don't let your age intimidate you, and don't let other people's age intimidate you either. This is not about your age. This is about your calling. I feel the Spirit of the Lord on me again, right? It's a lot like I was in my house in that meeting. It's not about your age. It's about your calling. And it's about the God who calls you. And about the one who spoke to you about being here. And it's about the one who spoke to you about your future and your life. It's not even about this church. It's about the God who said, I have called you and I have set you apart to do something great in your life. It's not about your age. So go ahead and lead. Go ahead and take the lead. Go ahead and be an example. Go ahead and do things that we never even dreamed we could do. Go ahead and believe for the impossible because you serve a God of the impossible. Amen. That's strong today. You say, Pastor, I can't. I'm this, I'm that, I'm young, I'm inexperienced. Let me remind you that the Bible is full of stories about people under 30 who did some pretty amazing things. Remember, Joseph was only 17 when he went to Egypt, and he is the one that saved Israel in the time of famine. Remember, it was David, young David, who took down Goliath and delivered the Israelites from the Philistines. Remember, it was Solomon, under 30, who built the temple of God. It was Josiah, who was only 8 years old, who brought revival to the nation of Judah because he simply read the Bible for himself. It wasn't about his dad or his granddad or his great-grandmother. It was about me and the Word of God. And as a result, revival comes to an entire nation all before he's 30 years old. See, it was Jeremiah who was young when God said to Jeremiah, I'm going to make you a prophet to the nations. Remember, it was Mary. Young Mary, who was a teenage girl, when the angel came to her and said, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. Remember, it was Jesus, who would have been a millennial. Who gave his life for you and me. Paul says, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church, period. You are the church right now, today. I want to say to every person who's a student, every person who's a college student, every young man, every young woman, this is your time. This is your moment. This is the hour that God has called you to. It's not a mistake why you're here. It's not a mistake what you're doing here today. God has his hand on your life. And he wants to do great things through you, not in the future, right now. And so today, can I encourage you, grab onto that. Don't run from it. Don't be afraid of it because God wants to use you right now. Am I in the right church today? You see, I want you to realize that there's really only been three generations where Satan has literally had a bounty on your head. Remember, it was Moses' generation that all of the young Hebrew baby boys were killed. And the reason is because out of that generation comes Moses, who is the deliverer of Israel. It was Jesus' generation, right, who was also, Satan had a bounty on their head, killing all of the young Hebrew children, all of the people there, because out of that comes the Savior of the world. Well, this is the abortion generation. Many estimates are that over 100 million babies have been aborted worldwide in the last 50 years. It makes you wonder why the enemy is so afraid of this generation. What's coming out of this generation? What's God doing in this generation? I say he's raising up a last days generation full of faith, full of power to deliver people from bondage and from darkness. Somebody give God praise if you believe that that is true. And maybe the reason he hates this generation so much is because this is the age group most likely to give their hearts to Jesus. You see the graph behind me. If you paid attention at all, you know that somewhere between 80 and 85% of the people who are followers of Jesus said that they gave their life to Jesus before the age of 20. When is the absolute most strategic time to reach people? It's when they're young. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't get saved after you're 20. As a matter of fact, I got a report from last Sunday in the services that a 71-year-old man gave his heart and life to Jesus for the first time. Amen. That's pretty awesome. Hey, you can't patty cake and golf clap for stuff like that. Somebody give God praise. Somebody was lost, and now they're found. So we're not saying by any stretch, you know, don't reach anybody else except the young, but wouldn't it be smart of us if we really wanted to fulfill the Great Commission to put most of our time and most of our energy and most of our money into reaching this generation? Next week, Pastor Allison and I, our kids pastor, we're going to tag team the message, and we're going to share our church's vision for how you can reach and keep your generation to serve Jesus for the rest of their lives. I'm very excited about next week because we can do this working together. And what this means for us is that this is the generation that represents the greatest evangelism opportunity the world has ever seen. See, the Bible also talks about a last day's harvest. A harvest unlike any before it. A harvest of people coming to know Jesus. I believe that many of them will be young. So what that means is, as a church, we need to approach this generation as if we are missionaries to this generation. Now hang in, I'm almost done. Short attention span, short burst of information. Come back. Think about what missionaries do to reach the people group or the nation that God's called them to. We've had hundreds, if not 1,000 missionaries as part of our church over the years. The very first thing they do is they don't go to China or South America or whatever, even without learning language and culture. They'll spend at least a year, sometimes two, sometimes more, just learning the language. Why? So they can communicate the greatest message of all time, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in a language that their hearers can understand, and learn culture so that they can do it in the most effective way. How many know what I'm talking about? So that's what God wants. And so if we want to reach this generation, we also have to learn the language. We also have to learn the culture. Did you see on the video earlier, 4% of this generation has a biblical worldview? This is not the Billy Graham generation. This is not the 1950s. It's not even the 80s or 90s anymore. This is completely, totally different. They're not coming. We, the church, have to say, what do we do to reach them? What do we do to connect with them? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that how can they call on them? How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells the truth? So if we're missionaries to this generation, we have to just accept that they speak a different language than we do. They have a different culture than we grew up with. And so we're going to have to use methods that we've never done before. What's the language of this generation? Technology, music, media. This is why we do series like At the Movies here at our church. Why? It's the language of the culture. By the way, we're doing At the Movies at Christmas this year instead of our normal time in the fall. And we're believing God for a great harvest there. This is why we do social media. This is why the church has Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. This is why we have LED walls in the worship center and in the kids' space. And I'm going to go ahead and prophesy in the commons in the future. Right? Why do we do that? We're not rejecting technology. We're embracing technology as a means to an end. Now, sadly, I think too many churches have taken the opposite approach to reaching the next generation, and their attitude is, you know, hey, you learn our culture, you learn our language, you speak our religious language, then you can be part of us. Well, what if a missionary did that? Instead of learning their culture and their language, what if a missionary said, hey, I'm going to teach you English so you can hear my message in English? That's crazy. Did you know, according to one Southern Baptist researcher, Tom Rainer, he says that somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 churches are going to close in the U.S. this year. Could it be that it's because we're doing such a poor job as a church, including and investing in the next generation? Churches are struggling with this, by the way. I had a conversation yesterday with a family member who lives in another town, and they were just saying what a struggle it is at their this church who is trying to bridge the gap between generations, and the older generation is having none of it. And he said to me, I didn't say it to him, but I did say amen. He goes, if they make the church all about them, that church will die. I said, exactly. What are we going to do? Let's speak the language. Let's invest in a generation. Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, look, you know, they're kids. Let them play in the back room. Let them have the kids' table. And when they grow up, they can have their chance. They can take our place. Well, we could do that. But while we're waiting for them to grow up, Satan has already gone after them with everything he has through technology and music, movies, social media, streaming video, apps. And while we're waiting, Satan has destroyed their souls, contaminated their spirits, and rob them of their future. And oh, by the way, while you were waiting, the opportunity they had to reach their peers, the single largest evangelistic opportunity they'll ever have in their lifetime, will be gone. It's called public schools. The time is now to make room for this generation at this table. It's now. What's the problem? What's the issue? Well, one study said this, that 1 in 5 young adults in America say that the Church of Jesus Christ in America is like an exclusive club. One of the biggest challenges that the church faces in our current culture is that the people who are younger don't feel like they have a place. They don't feel like they belong. They feel like we're speaking a language that they don't understand. We're perpetuating a culture that is alien to them. Jesus is not alien to them. Worship is not alien to them. The Word of God is not alien to them. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about methods. I'm talking about culture. Okay, Pastor. You got me. What do I do? Well, here we go. First of all, if you're a student, you're a young adult, let me encourage you, let me put it to you in a positive way. Get off the sideline. Get involved now. Go to Grace Students now. Get involved in ministry now. Get on a team now. Get in a group now. Right? We got freedom groups for students. We got freedom groups for young adults. We got groups. You know, attend Sunday morning, get in a group, serve on a team. That's not just for the older people. That's for all y'all. Right? That's the plural form of y'all, by the way. Do it now. Serve now. Go to Growth Track. Figure out your purpose, how you're designed. Get on a team. Welcome people. I'm going to promise you, you're going to bless some people's faces off when they see your young face at the door.
That's right.
Right? And when we have a prayer team and we pray for people's needs, it's not just a bunch of 70-year-old people. There's some teenagers who know how to pray and agree with me in faith. Am I in the right church? Yes. Serve now. Yes. Get involved now. And watch God do wonderful things in your life. Right. What about everybody else? Well, let me encourage you to invest in this generation. We're gonna do all kinds of stuff to invest in this generation so you can do that monetarily, right? With this Kingdom Builder project for the mezzanine. Some of you can help make that happen. But don't just invest money, invest time. Invest your life. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Grace Kids, serve. Be there, serve. Pray over them. You know, you don't know if that baby you're rocking in the nursery is the next prophet. Are you hearing me? The one that has this amazing gift. God knows what's in their DNA because he made them. And he just needs some moms and dads and some grandmas and grandpas and some single men and single women to call that out of them. And believe God for their life. Serve. Invest. You see, Pastor, you're making me nervous when you talk about serving students. I mean, it's like aliens. I need some students to amen me here, so I'm totally prepping everybody, all right? This is how you help me, all right? Are you ready to amen? Only if I speak the truth, but be ready. I think we got to recognize the lie that the enemy has perpetuated, which is in order to invest and minister to this generation, somehow you got to look a certain way, you got to be cool, and you got to be a certain thing. And I reject that completely. Because what this generation, you saw it on the video, they're not looking for cool, they're looking for real. They're looking for authenticity, no filters. What they really need is just somebody to love them and somebody to listen to them and somebody to care for them and somebody to pray for them. Guess what? We can do that.
That's right.
You can do that too and make a difference. You see, it's the enemy who tries so stinking hard to keep us separate. Oh, I got to have a church service just for people like me. Or I got to have this service just for people like me. That is not the family that God created. He created all of us to be one family, all at one table, loving, serving, growing, forgiving, blessing, praying, forgiving again. Right? Because we're a family, right? And doing it together. And if we will, God will do great things through all of us. Would you stand with me here today? Here's how I would like to end this service before we go out to the group's fair and connect with opportunities to be involved in a group this semester. In just a moment, I'd like to ask everybody 30 years of age and younger, 30. All of you 30-year-olds are really happy that I'm calling you young today. You're welcome. But if you're 30 years of age, I would like you in a minute to come and stand across the front. So if you're on the floor, I want you to come to the front of the platform, and I need you to be at least shoulder to shoulder because we're going to pray for you. If you're in the stadium, I want you to come and stand in front of the stadium, shoulder to shoulder, face both groups facing that way. Because after we do this, I'm going to invite everybody else to come and pray for this generation. How many think that's a good idea? Are you ready? So if you're 30 years of age or younger, would you make your way to the front of your section? Pastor Steve is going to sing this chorus as you come. Thank you for coming. Man, spread out as much as you can. Amen.
It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Amen. Hey, before we pray for these young men and women, would you let them know how much you love and appreciate them and how glad that they are part of this church family? Come on, let them hear it. Hey, and if you're paying attention, God has given us a whole lot of this generation at our church. We praise God for that. Here's the next thing I want you to do in just a minute. Don't do it yet. But I want you, everybody else who's willing, if you're completely uncomfortable and I'm totally stretching you, that's all right. All right. But if you're comfortable and you're willing, in just a moment, I want you to come and find one of these young men and women. And I want you to introduce yourself to them. And then I want you to listen, because we're going to pray together. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer to pray for the next generation. Is that okay? Are you ready to help us pray? Are you ready? All right. Amen. Go ahead and come. Let's sing this chorus one more time. We need as much help as possible. Everybody who's willing to help us out, please help us. We need a few more older adults in the back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. If I could have your attention, everybody. If I could have your attention, can I have the older? Would you reach out your hand and lay your hand on the shoulder or the forehead of the younger? And if you're willing to do this, would you look them in the eye and pray this prayer? Dear God, bless this young man or young woman. Pour out your spirit on their life. May they be the generation that sees revival. May your hand be upon them. Give them boldness and courage to do everything that you've created them to do. Protect them from evil. May they be different. May they be filled with your spirit. May you use them in great ways. May your Holy Spirit rest upon them and give them a great future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.